Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Dirty 30 Wrap-Up Podcast for the premiere. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, I'm doing really well. Very strong start, I think, to the season with a lot to talk about. But first, I have to tell you something. I haven't talked to you about this off air. As everyone knows, I'm super busy with law school and everyone hates hearing about it. But I am going to have to quit the podcast.
Oh, no. So quick. There she goes.
That wasn't even an Ashley joke. That was just me saying a totally realistic lie isn't like a dirty twist in a show. Bad reference, I guess. But Derek Boucher said, what kind of dirty tricks do you guys plan on playing us to celebrate all the dirty deeds being told by TJ? And I was like, maybe I could try something and see how you'd react. But sorry, everyone who got excited. That was just like telling somebody the prize money is a very realistic number that the show usually gives out and then secretly twisting it to be a ton more money without telling them. What?
I thought you were going with the route of just including all references to other reality shows the way TJ did, asking people to be here for the right reasons. That's where I thought you were going with the butt first.
I mean, we have a lot of material to make nonsensical jokes and references with, so I'm thrilled. But Derek Boucher, I'm sorry. I tried but failed to like do a quote-unquote dirty trick. I guess I'm not the dirtiest podcast co-host ever.
Well, I have a little trick for you because I actually have a surprise guest for you because coming on the line right now is Johnny Bananas. Johnny, how are you? Got ya. Boom. There's a good joke.
What a disappointment. Honestly, I think we both have done like two big disappointing twists here, like that I'm not actually quitting and that Johnny Bananas isn't actually on the line.
Two big disappointing twists is like another theme for our podcast. So we can keep that going.
All right. We both swing and a miss. We took a lot of risks. A couple things from last week. I want to thank a 5-star reviewer, Agrippa Minor. Thank you so much. I don't think we plugged reviews last week, so really appreciate everyone keeping us afloat at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Yes. And a couple corrections. When I listened back, my sound quality was terrible. I don't know what's going on. I'm working on it. Thanks everyone for bearing with me. Appreciate it. Preach. I noticed that I said I don't listen to any other Survivor podcasts. I don't know why I felt the need to say that. I'm a big fan of Dom and Colin. I'm hoping to get Colin on the podcast again this season, friend of the show. And he did a great interview with Rob Cesternino, and he mentioned me. So friends all around.
That's all it takes. Just mention Allie and you're a friend for life.
Well, I tweeted this, but like the first time I ever listened to a podcast was because Max Dawson mentioned me on Dom and Colin. And I was like, what's a podcast? Let me check that out.
That's so amazing. You could like pinpoint your first podcast that you ever listened to. I don't think I could. I have no idea.
Yeah, because if you're not self-absorbed, it's like not a memory.
All right. That's probably true.
And probably more important than leaving out Dom and Colin in my list of podcasts I listen to is that we left out Nelson in our guest preview.
That's one of the great like ironic twists that we've ever done. It's so perfect to leave out Nelson.
And when I was doing like my prep for it, I was like, oh, I'm actually going to say, surprisingly, I'm excited for Nelson to be back.
Right. And that's what I said when I found out we left him out, because I actually was surprisingly happy to have him back. I guess that's surprising enough to mention him.
I mean, and it's also unsurprising that we didn't mention him. It's kind of like with the theme of just being us.
Just one person, I think. You know, there's so many people. The fact that we only forgot one is actually not bad. Considering we were going off like not like an actual order. We were just like tossing names out of who we were excited about, not excited about. Only having one person slip through the cracks is not bad.
I was going to say, I take full responsibility because I just like sprung a weird thing on you. But getting into this episode, the first thing I need to start with is the reference of the episode name was On Fire, whoever wrote this. Mazel and thank you. Did you notice this?
I did not notice. What was the episode called?
It was called 30 Rotten Scoundrels.
Okay, it's not bad.
Brilliant. Twist on Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, amazing.
I think we're going to get a lot of like dirty references throughout this entire season, so we should all just brace ourselves. Kind of like the way the Christmas noises keep coming up in Big Brother and people freaking out. Just like embrace it and you'll have fun. There's going to be at least like 5 to 10 dirty references in every single episode.
I mean, Just this title, though, I loved because, first of all, it doesn't even say dirty, but it's great because it combines pretty much all the interests in my interest section on my resume of theater and the challenge. But speaking of dirty, as we will be speaking about, Jonathan Foreman wants to know, how dirty is this season?
It's the dirtiest. You can't get anything more dirty than Dirty 30. So what could be more dirty?
The great Molly Block says, I was going to say, are they being given bonuses for the number of times they use the word dirty? And my thought on this is like, is this how they up the money from 350 to a million?
Do they trademark the word dirty and then like the cast doesn't even know the fact that they have to now pay them every time they say it? So they're actually paying for their prize money?
That would be what a twist. That would be like the Morgan Spurlock, like greatest film ever sold or whatever. Like if they just like were like, if you plug this enough, you'll increase your prize money.
They're actually doing to the contestants what the contestants do to us when they say, like, you have to use hashtag this many times to release, like, the preview of next week's episode. Here, it's like, if you say dirty, like, 1,000 times, we'll give you $1 million.
I don't like where this is going, but this could be the future of television.
And if it doesn't start on MTV, it doesn't start anywhere.
Boom. But we have to dig into this TJ confessional / weird prize money twist that clearly is like the most top of mind for me coming out of this episode. WTF, man, WTF.
Okay, so I'm going to try to play devil's advocate and say why this is a good idea. Because I think
I'm not even saying it's a good or bad. I'm just like, what?
I'm just trying, like, what would be their mindset is to make this a good reason to hide the fact that they're playing for more money, right? So why would they do that? And the only thing the only reason be good would just have the dramatic moment later in the season with fewer people. But I don't even know why that's even better. And that's all I got.
The only thing I'm thinking of is like, if they want to make sure to increase debauchery, like if there's a potential of like, okay, shit, we're playing for $1 million. Like I could stop drinking for the month for $1 million. You know what I mean? Like, or I'm not going to let a girl get in the way of $1 million. Like I think it might change the calculus of being willing to take risks or willing to have fun. I don't know if that's part of it. In addition to like, oh, wait, and we'll just drop this bomb halfway through and people will keep watching. It's almost like when they do like, the flash forward in the beginning of an episode and they're like, all right, keep watching for this big moment to happen 6 episodes from now. Or like in the real world where they'll say like bloodlines come in 3 days.
I guess so. I guess that adds to it, but I mean, there's probably gonna be some other, they're already doing a big twist. They're already doing the Redemption House thing. So why couldn't that just be the boom got you moment? Like 2 weeks until the Redemption House is revealed.
Yeah, we also don't really know why, how the figure is going to change, if it's like an opportunity to cut someone to increase the prize money, or if it's going to, you know, like, we don't know how it's, if it's just like, oh, surprise, you've always been playing for $1 million, or if it's like a twist, which I actually would find interesting if like there's some way to like cut someone to increase your money. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that, it doesn't seem like that's how it would play out, but that would be an interesting concept moving forward, that by doing like something debaucherous to other people that adds the prize money for everyone else, that could be interesting for going forward. But for here, I mean, wouldn't they, I guess it all depends from TV what they would want, because I guess like the way you said that it will not force people to want to be super competitive, but it also stops people from maybe not being as, you know, cunning and cutthroat, which in Dirty 30, you would think they would want that to be, because I mean, winning $1 million is a lot better than winning 350. So,
very true. One thing we have to dig into, which is what you brought up, Pira, Viral, my font is so small and my eyes are getting so bad. Oh my God. All right. I'm going to make a doctor's appointment after this. Pia Virilanen says, what are the quote right reasons to be on a challenge?
I would say number one would be to cause as much havoc as possible. Number two would be to try to win money. And number three is to not give a fuck and do whatever you want.
Yeah, I agree. I think the right reasons are to get paid, whether by returning enough to just get paid by showing up or winning and trying to be famous.
What's weird is that the fact that now, like, they're quote unquote, like, who's not here for the right reasons would be Ashley, but then she also won last season. So it was like, what exactly does that mean to be here for the right reasons?
Because you also still won. Anyone's ever been on the challenge for the wrong reasons. Like, I actually don't think there is a wrong reason to be on the challenge. You're going to get paid. It's not like there's another objective than money and fame to the challenge. Like, yeah, the glory of winning, but that's money. So, like, it's totally misappropriated from The Bachelor in terms of, like, The Bachelor makes sense. Like, are you here to find love? Are you here to be famous? On Are You the One, you could maybe use it. Like, are you here to find love? Are you here for the money? You know, did you come with a girlfriend? This, though, totally makes no sense. And you would think for, like, reality TV writers who have to know the industry that they would, like, not try to use this. It almost feels like a bet, like a challenge. Like, if you could, like, amongst, like, right. You could, like, can you imagine, like, I don't know what they call them. Like, and they're writers, but they don't give them, like, writing credits on reality. But, like, the bad producers. But there's also sometimes, like, story edit, whatever. Producers on The Bachelor and a producer on The Challenge, like, got together one night drinking and were like, all right, if you can put You Killed It into something Rachel says, I'll get TJ to say right reasons. Like, whoever could do it first buys dinner.
That would be quite entertaining, but at least they don't have to deal with passport issues on The Bachelor, which is what apparently they have to deal with now on The Challenge.
And I respect the segue here, but I really am getting disappointed that you're not having the reaction to TJ's confessional that I want you to have.
I loved it, but because I'll get more excited if I see another one. If this is not just like a one-off thing where it was just like something he already told us he has to tell us again in a confessional, but this is now like he's actually going to be doing confessionals throughout the show. I'm not convinced that we're going to see another one.
Yeah, Robbie Freeman wrote to us and said the TJ interview was bizarre. Do you think we'll see that again this season? What are the odds?
I'll put it at 33% that we see another one.
I think it's 100% that when it comes time, anytime they want to talk about this, they're going to put him in a talking head of, I don't know how often they're going to want to do it, but when it comes close to like break the news of the million, I think we're going to get another one. 100%.
I hope it's just the same clip of him every single time, of him saying the exact same thing, just like on repeat. So it's not even like multiple confessionals, just one confessional told many, many times.
I want a repeat of him doing the like side call, like golf clap when he was like, you're deceitful and dirty. And for that, I say, good job. Three slow side claps. Like, that was just so bizarre.
It was weird hearing TJ introduce the season to us, though, as opposed to like the cast when he said like the name or whatever. That was weird.
I love when he's like, I lied. I'm going to play a dirty game as well. Like, I actually laughed out loud to myself alone at 3 a.m. when I was watching this.
That's such a depressing statement.
Well, just like I was alone in watching this, everyone on the show is alone in this game. Don't forget. Everyone's going to slit your throat.
And you know who else was alone? CT back in the U.S.
There we go. And we're back. All right. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening. Well but, done. But good job. Three claps.
But seriously, how does he have passport issues? What does that even mean?
Yeah, there's a couple tinfoil hat theories as we get into Ashley's quit here. But first, I just like couldn't, before I could really process that CT was stopped at the border, I spent 15 minutes laughing at this. This is so unbelievable. Like, CT just has like a mean face. I don't know if it's like he still has his passport photo from when he went to Paris with the real world and he looks so significantly different that they stopped him. I don't know, the dad bod maybe.
Do you think maybe he like changed his name on like his license to just CT and on his passport it still says Chris and it just didn't match and that's why they like flagged it?
I'm gonna believe that this somehow is real, but I don't get it because
it has to be real.
Well, but you'd think with production and like this isn't just like he took a trip and got screwed. Like they have to like have permission, I imagine, from the Colombian government. Like I don't know again how things work because I am not a lawyer or a producer. I am nothing right now. They have permission from the powers that be in the country. Like they're aware they're bringing these people in, this crew, like you're working in the country. Like it's like shocking to me that this would get someone stopped at the border.
It's very shocking. It just wouldn't make sense for them to be playing us, because wouldn't they just not tell the cast that he was supposed to even be on it, and then it would just, he would have his grand entrance like in a week? It would be so weird to, like, what would be the end game to be lying about his passport issue? Just like, I guess, freebie for a week?
And I don't think, like, why would they give it to CT over almost anyone else? Unless, like, CT somehow, like, got injured or something and needed, like,
maybe
something, or like there was like, so he just like made, they made up some lie because there was a reason he couldn't be there in an emergency situation. But like that kind of stuff gets out, and I just like, it's too funny a lie. Like, it's just like too, you can't write this shit, you know? Like, it's like he's like, I have a valid passport, but they questioned like my picture or something. I don't know. What did he say? Like, I guess it just didn't look good.
Right. I did put my tinfoil hat on when Ashley quit at first. I'm like, that's kind of weird that now both champs from last season are out of the house. And I thought maybe they're both be coming back, but I don't, that doesn't seem like the way it's going down.
All right. Yeah. So since you mentioned it, Annie Pizzutelli says, is there any chance that Ashley didn't really quit and CT didn't have a passport problem? Could this be some sort of production twist set up for last season's winner?
Nah, I think if they were to do that, they wouldn't even have put Ashley in the house. Like, I don't see what they gained from Ashley quitting and then bringing up. Like, if they were to do that, they would have both having passport issues or something like that.
It also, like, very clearly looks like CT re-enters the house and Ashley does not from the previews.
Right.
The whole treatment, I mean, we'll jump back to where we were, but now that we're talking about Ashley, I mean, there's no real order, rhyme, or reason to the first episode anyway, before the challenge. Caitlin Ash wants to know, does Ashley get asked back again for future seasons? She's threatened to quit on basically every show she's been on. She even left in her season of The Real World. She was voted out, but the show barely covered her quit at all, and TJ wasn't even too harsh on her. She's TV gold, but has now done the biggest challenge no-no.
Yeah, I mean, I think she'll be back. It was bizarre how, usually TJ would have, like, shit all over this move just to quit, like, before even challenge starts, all because your clothes were delayed. It almost made me seem like there was something else bigger going on that they just, like, maybe Ashley didn't want televised, and she's like, I'm just going to quit for this, but it really... At the service, it just seems like she quit because her clothes were delayed.
So Nick Sabetta offered this comment. I think I saw somebody saying on Twitter that she may be on some type of medication that's ended up getting lost. So the way the show treated this, like, there had to be something bigger going on. We didn't see her leave. We didn't see her. I mean, they've chased Devin down the street, you know, like, and like they found people when they leave, you know, the fact that we just kind of like, she woke up and was gone kind of deal. We only saw like a little bit of her freak out and heard nothing else. They didn't even call it a quit. They just said she left the house. So she had to leave.
Yeah. There has to be something there. Unless the producer is just so fed up with her threatening to quit. It's like a child throwing a tantrum and eventually just, you know what, let's call him on our bluff and actually make her quit. Cause I mean, she did threaten to quit like 3 or 4 times last season. So I think she even threatened to quit during the Champs vs. Pros thing. So at some point it's like, you know what, let's let her quit.
But then they would brand it a quit. And I honestly think like the worst thing for MTV is Ashley quitting day one. Like, I think they would want everything. Like, reality television producers deal with crazier things than people threatening to quit. And then they air it. They love it. Like, so I don't think even if they, all these people have to be annoying. Like, producers can't, like, really love, like, the craziest people on these shows. They're insane. So I think if she, like, really quit and they were pissed about it, they would have aired. You know, they wouldn't have pulled any punches. I agree with you that something bigger was going on. I can't speculate on any medicine that might have been lost. I think it's a very big shame that the producers couldn't coordinate that better. But I mean, they are just traveling. They couldn't even get CT into the country. So right. Forget bags. And my heart goes out to her in terms of if something basically a glitch like that, that wasn't her fault, like, led her to having to leave the house. Again, they didn't call it a quit, right? They just said, like, she it kind of made it sound like a DQ. Like, she left the house, so she could, like, had to go.
You know, it's funny, because we talked about how quickly this turnaround for this season was, and it almost, the way, you know, CT can't get in, maybe something happened with Ashley, it's like, maybe they weren't even prepared for the season. They was kind of just, like, tossed together so quickly just to get it out, and maybe they just didn't have all their ducks in a row to get the season underway.
That's a great point. Makes a lot of sense to me, at least. And I'm also, the other thing is, like, usually, like, people are really dirty. Like, you know, you'd expect someone like Kara to say, like, Ashley really quit and da 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 and whatever. I haven't seen much of it. Nobody's brought it to my attention. If anyone sees it, definitely let me know. So the way that, like, she's not really commenting about it, people in the house aren't really commenting about it, kind of seems like there might be a situation to be respected here. Yeah.
Of course, the one person who did make comments about it was Simone, and it's like, it's just Simone calling someone else a drama queen. I just, like, I couldn't even handle the level of just pot calling the kettle black in that moment. I just couldn't take it.
It's literally like you're reading my notes. If Simone calling you a drama queen, wow. And, like, that's, like, when Simone's, like, starting to make sense, like, I have to, like, reevaluate how late at night I'm watching the show.
Seriously.
Because, like, it did, she did seem like a drama queen. Like, I'll give her that. Like, based on what the show showed us.
Yeah, I mean, but even not just based off this, Ashley is a drama queen just from everything else. That, I mean, she, like, wanted to threaten to quit because I think, like, a toilet seat was moved. Like, I mean, this is not all news for Ashley.
And it's like what Nelson said last season, like, exactly, like, give her time, that's what she wants, give her the cameras, and, like, it was just, he nailed her.
Yep. Bingo.
We have skipped over the biggest news, bigger than Ashley quitting, bigger than CT stopping at the border. Do you know what this is?
The challenge, new power couple?
Wow, we have been podcasting together for too long, my friend. Way too long. My biggest all caps note is that Derek and Tori are dating.
I had no idea. I thought Derek was dating one of the other girls from the season, like the short, like, brunette girl who was with the guy. But this is a horrible description. But with the guy with the hat, I thought they were, like, dating.
The short brunette girl who was with the guy with the hat. Do you mean his partner from his brief moment on Are You the One?
Yeah.
So she's dating Mike, the guy with the hat. Is that what you mean?
No, like the bro-y guy who always wore the buffalo hat.
I imagine you mean a sports team, but I'm picturing like a literal buffalo, like from the Oregon Trail.
No, like the Buffalo School, the school buffalo.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember his name. I don't know. I blocked that article, but I thought they were dating.
Cassandra, like
him
Cass?
And Tori were dating. Yeah.
She's dating Mike from Long Island.
Okay.
Or was it the last? I thought I'd keep my ear to the ground about this. Like, whoa, good on them for me not knowing about this.
Yeah, no idea. The sliding into the DMs, it worked.
That was a pretty low bar. Randy, oh my God, I know your last name, but I always mess it up. Nupal, please just tell me I'm the worst. I'm very tired. Will Tori being with Derek H blind her and reduce her chances of being a threat to win?
Before I answer that, can you imagine being on a show like with your significant other and having to refer to them with the first letter of their last name? Like, how weird would that be? It's like, oh, me and my ride or die, Derek H. Like, what?
Well, that's like kind of on The Bachelor when they're like, you know, I can't think of anything now, but like Lindsay R. And then it's like that.
Yeah, but at a certain point, the other one gets cut. You can just start calling them by their name. Like, for a tour, like, probably the other Derek's going to be there for a while this season. So it's like, Derek H. Oh, I love Derek H.
Yeah, no, her ride or die is going to get cut, and she'll be able to refer to Derek H. just as Derek.
Yeah. So will Tori be blinded? I think Tori is going to do just fine, whether Derek is in the house or not. I think she's got a good level head about how to play this game.
The only fear is, like, Derek's kind of a wild card. Like, he kind of went off the rails on Are You the One, like, not over-strategizing because he was, like, sort of right, but he might kind of like take that, you know, and try to make a big swing here strategically. And like, I think he could overplay, in which case it would drag Tori. Like, I could see people like really vibing with Tori and being like, yo, but your boy is all over the place. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's possible. I do think Derek also, I mean, I think this is a better game for him to play. I think his strengths are obviously mostly his physical strength. So I think allowing him to showcase that first and then letting his mind let Tori take that would be a good strategy.
Quick sidebar, shout out to Randy who organizes like a pretty fun challenge draft. I participated through Twitter and there are five of us. I want you to hear who's on my team and see what you think. I got first pick and it was a snake draft. So that kind of sucks. I got first pick and then 10 and 11. So I have CT as my number one pick in the draft. Number one overall. I have Jordan. I have Ashley. Which,
ouch,
who could have foreseen, and CT. Yeah. So I had two no shows, Brittany, Hunter, and Ammo. Who by default in the 30th pick, which I was actually pretty happy about for like last pick overall. I like probably would have picked Ammo over the last.
That's not bad. I think Brittany could be a sneaky fun person this season. I think she's got that bad bitch quality that could fit very well in the challenge house.
And Randy's giving points for like, I think the first he decided to give points like for winning round 1, 2, and 3 and then stuff like that. So like Hunter, I don't think Hunter's going to win, but I think he's going to pick up some challenge points for me.
Yeah. Of all things about Hunter, his athletic prowess is not something we'll knock on. The fact that he's like a giant tool is the other part.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, tool points and challenge points, all good with me. It did kind of pain me to pick him, but so thanks to Randy
Money
for
be green.
Oh my god! All right. One thing I don't even have a segue here. It just like really kind of shocked me is and I think it's going to bother you too. The really generous use of the label vet this year.
Yeah, I mean. So basically, their new label is if you've been on this show in any capacity, you're a vet, which is kind of annoying.
I also don't know why you do that in this season. Or I guess they like want to kind of show like these are all the 30 dirtiest players. So like their past experience like matters. Like, look at these vets. But it just doesn't feel right. Judah Ray Almario says, why the hell are people like Hunter and Kayla being labeled vet? They've only been on one season.
Yeah, I don't. I think they should go back to like the pay structure of when you were actually a rookie. Is like your first two or three seasons, just stick with that. I think we talked about this last season about how they're trying to not focus on the fact that the Are You One people are from Are You the One, so people don't automatically hate them, or someone like Nelson, they'll just forget was on Are You the One. They're just hoping he's just part of the challenge world. So I think that could be part of it. Just putting them vet and rookie kind of does that.
Which, I mean, they're taking it a little too far when Brittany introduces herself and is like, hi, I'm Brittany, and I was Miss Teen USA. And I'm like, wait, what am I watching?
It really felt like an old school introduction of like a Fresh Meat season. Like, these are actually our Fresh Meat. We need to learn all about them because they've never been on TV before.
Why are they not mentioning that she's on Are You the One? Like, I thought that was the most bizarre introduction. Like, a little, I get wanting to move away from pointing out Are You the One, and I think they've done a good job. Like Amanda and Nelson, even Simone, I think is starting to like, you're starting to kind of forget where you place them from which MTV show. But like first season in, give her credit for being on Are You the One. Don't just act like she's on the show because she won a beauty pageant or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it would also be weird to not, like, especially if their previous Are You the One season's dynamics come together. Like, I'm sure there's history between all these people that very well could come into play if they just are going to choose not to show it, or it's not going to play a factor. But if you don't show the fact that these people were on the show previous show together, it's kind of like, oh, they don't know, no idea about their history.
Speaking of previous shows, I was surprised to have Darrell say that you last saw him on Champs versus Pros and he counts it as a challenge win. Is that not an asterisk? Or you, as someone who watched the show, do we count this as a true season of the challenge?
I would probably, if it's the type of thing where, and so if I won it, I would count it because it's like a win. And if I didn't win it, I would be like, oh, it's not really a win. So I'm fine with
total bananas logic coming from Brian right now.
Yeah, but I'm fine with him counting a win. It's weird. He won, but he didn't really win money for himself. He won money for a charity, which is kind of weird. I thought going into the season for these, like for the people from the challenge, you know, I'm sure they love giving money to charity and stuff, but Darrell could probably really use that $100,000 for himself. Like, I understand going to a great cause, but it's not like they're multimillionaires who can willy-nilly give away money.
I mean, I would imagine that show, they got paid more than they would, maybe not bananas, but like Veronica probably got paid more than she would. Or I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody like Ashley, or, you know, somebody who's probably coming on these shows for less than bananas, obviously, probably got paid more because it was her charity and not
probably
prize money on the table. I can't say that for sure, but that would make sense to me.
That's probably fair.
Because you're taking people from their jobs. I mean, some of them.
Yeah, and Darrell's taken away from his kids. Like, it's a big deal.
Question about all of these shows and formats. We have a new old listener. A new listener, old viewer. How about that? So Elizabeth Devine.
First time, long time.
Nothing about age or anything, just in terms of classic shows. Elizabeth Divine Reed Ames says, dumb question. No such thing, Elizabeth. I haven't watched this show since it was called Real World Road Rules Challenge. So like not in 15 years. I thought Road Rules was canceled years ago. How does it work now? Just Real World Vets. So for anyone who might be joining us, I know a couple of people who are new to the podcast and to the season or might be returning people, maybe Veronica and Derek K. And I'm like, I don't even know which Derek is which. And Darrell, relit your fire for the challenge. You want to just like give a little bit of a premise of what's going on right now in the current world of the challenge?
So the current world is, it's still pulling from past Real World seasons. And basically, Are You the One, another MTV show, has replaced Road Rules as like the other feeder system to the show. And there's been some other like one-offs like Fresh Meat where people have joined the actual challenge, but it's mostly just Real World and Are You the One people.
And now, like with the introduction of the people I mentioned, we're bringing back, you know, Shane from last season and Darrell and Derek from the Road Rules. So the Road Rules. So while there isn't the Road Rules from Road Rules, and so while there aren't current seasons being made, there are still some people who are on the season from. Oh my God, there's like a huge ass bug in my room right now, flying around. Oh my God, it's so scary. Oh, okay. I would have done terrible on Road Rules, obviously. Please say something. I'm terrified.
Should we talk about the Bananas Toast? What did you think of it? No honor amongst these thieves?
I'd rather deal with this bug than have to listen to another Bananas Toast.
How about the fact that Jenna actually made like a very astute analogy about herself?
That she is... oh, God, what was it? That she's like guilty by association, yeah, being dirty?
Yeah, she's associated with all the dirty players and that she wouldn't be robbing the bank, but she'd be driving the getaway car. It's a well done comparison for Jenna.
I think it's a well done comparison for anyone.
Yeah, good for her.
Sorry, I'm really traumatized by this. I don't even know what it is. It's like a big tail and stinger. And
is it flying?
Yeah.
Oh, that could be a death rocket.
What's that?
Exactly what it sounds like.
Can you explain what that is?
It's if it stings you, you die.
Are you being serious?
No.
Oh. Okay.
It's probably like a moth.
No, it's like it's ugly and just went into the blinds. Okay. Anyway, we had a question about the toast, but I was tracking the bug. So while I struggle, here we go. Ashley Bedazzlewood says, how far in advance does Bananas start working on his speech?
I would say at least a few weeks. He jots some notes down.
Yeah, it's definitely not off the cuff. I would say like he could come up with that in 10 minutes, hopefully.
You would hope so.
I thought this was fine. I didn't love the cheese, but I liked the there's no honor amongst these House of Thieves.
Yeah, it was a good rhyme. Good wordplay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. What do you think about Tony's a self-fulfilling prophecy, maybe, when he says, if I hadn't been taken out of the game, that him and Corey would be neck and neck with the women?
I both love the fact and sad to see the fact that drunk Tony is going to be back after a season off of being sober Tony. So I'm open to any possibilities with Tony this season.
I thought it was like a really disgusting thing that only someone who's like as big of a scumbag as Tony apparently turns out to be would say. But yeah, we had it jumping ahead to the preview. Ashley Russo says, or I'm sorry, we had a question. I don't even know where it is. So whoever asked it, but I thought it was a good question enough that I remembered it. What do you think that we like apparently see old Tony return this season?
What will we see Tony, old Tony return?
No, what do you think? Like, well, it shows that like potentially he and Camilla,
yeah,
maybe have a little smooch. I was like pretty upset to see that.
I'm entertained. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for a Tony Camilla alliance from love. Give it to me.
I mean, are you serious? Like, I can't watch somebody like cheat on their baby mama again. it brings me no pleasure to see that.
I mean, I'm not, if I was personally connected to Tony, I would probably be quite upset, but he's a TV character in my mind and it's wild stuff. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, so that's the barrier for me. Like, he's not a TV character. We've seen his kids. Like, the woman's been on the show. Like, it affects his family. Like, I don't like infidelity on these shows. But
what about
I'm
in happier
pretty
news?
Disappointed.
What about in happier news that the entire house hates Corey? That should be fun.
But is it a pure hate? Because it kind of seems like the girls are having fun with him.
I think the girls don't like him. I think if they don't like him, they're very excited to potentially have the option to, like, cut his throat.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was playful, but could turn, had high potential to turn on Corey. Time will tell. What did you think of when Anissa gets the clue and Corey kind of, like, stirs the pot with her and then she just shuts him down?
Yeah, she shut him down the way you shut down a bug if it's crawling in your apartment. She killed that shit.
That was so mean that you did that. It's not crawling, it's flying.
What did you think?
Brian's bringing that up because I just stopped the podcast to try to kill the bug and made the situation worse, and now he's using it against
me. And I apologize, listeners, because listening to the commentary of her trying to kill the bug was probably the best, like, 2 minutes of recording we've ever done in our entire lives, and now it's gone forever, but I'll remember it.
Well, if the bug sort of reappears in the next, like, whatever long run the podcast, I guess everyone's going to hear me scream.
If there's a loud shriek, we'll put it in the notes about when to lower your headphones.
It's like you could probably turn me down significantly the whole show. But my God, it's like a spider that also flies. It's like a complete nightmare. Anyway, I'll save everyone else the drama, not to be an Ashley about it. I'm not going to quit doing the show. all right. We have to talk about Ammo because, A, we mispronounced his name. Although,
I think I got it right.
Maybe you did. Credit. Do we know Ammo's preferred pronouns?
I'm just going to call him Ammo.
Okay. But you just use a pronoun. So that's why.
I'm just going to say Ammo.
Yeah. So Ashley Russo says, according to Bananas and Tony on the No Quitter podcast, production gave Ammo the option to compete against the girls or the guys this season. If he would have chosen the girls, do you think that would have been fair?
This is a slippery slope. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a good opinion or educational opinion to share on this.
Yeah, I don't think it's, like, really a matter of fair or not fair when it comes to gender identity. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just an interesting tidbit that MTV treated it that way. It being the situation, not Ammo. I think MTV is always, like, a step ahead, like, to figure out how to have gender non-binary identifying people on the show when things are usually split by guys against girls and how to figure that out. And I think it's a good way to navigate it by giving Ammo the option if that's truly what happened. So I think it's an interesting sort of path that MTV is paving as they continue to do in the industry. But
they're always pretty progressive. I mean, they had what's their name as exes, the lesbian couple that they had them as
Rachel?
Exes. Yeah, Rachel and, oh my God, I'm like blanking on all people's names right now. What's the other one name? Whatever. But they had them as the exes, which is kind of like a big deal to do that. So
yeah, and the most interesting thing I thought about Ammo's introduction is his occupation as professional cuddler.
Wasn't that something on The Bachelor? Wasn't someone a professional cuddler?
Sounds like something ridiculous that would be on The Bachelor, just like the phrase, the right reasons, has no place in the challenge.
Yeah, so we get the clue for The Purge.
Yeah. I was confused at why we got so much attention being paid to complaining that they had to be ready at 6:30 a.m.
Well, I think for two reasons. One, it was like, kind of sort of led to the Ashley quit just about everything going on. And also, it is a weird move to have the first challenge so early off the first night, when usually the first night is some of the more entertaining drama of the season, and at least, like, sets up all the drama for the season. So that was kind of a weird move.
I thought the whole thing was pretty weird, because then they were just like, or usually, like, they'll be like, oh, we got a clue, and yeah, they don't care about it. And this was like explaining maybe why things wouldn't get so crazy, and like, we just watched, like, a bunch of people go to bed. Like, I could have, like, people come sleep over my bug infested apartment if I wanted to watch people sleep,
right? So, but yeah, weird move.
All right, so let's get to the purge, the main action, keeping everything moving. What did you think of this?
It was weird because I couldn't fully embrace the fact that they were cutting six people out, because in the back of my mind, I always knew that something was going to happen, that these people were still going to be part of the house. I thought they were going to be part. It was all the setup for the new draw that they were doing, but it didn't go that way. But it is kind of a weird move to cut so many people out. If you're going to do that, just don't cast that many people.
Yeah, I tend to feel that way too. Like, I don't like when they do, even on The Bachelor, like when they just like drop like 15 people at the beginning after like 5 minutes. At least this was like a 3-part challenge. Although we have a ton of questions about the purge. But one of the questions was like, oh, here it was. JB Peak says, how could they fix the purge? 3 straight heavy object races was pretty boring. At least the underdog bloodbath last season had mental and physical rounds. When JB raised that, I was like, oh, you're right. Like, all 3 of them really tested the same skill set. It wasn't like you really, besides being able to hide in a group, have any opportunity if you're not just brute strength to prevail here.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't really think about that. That's a good point. But I actually wasn't that bored. I thought there was enough variation in each of them, especially with just how many people were in the first one, that kind of added a new layer to it. And then there was the team aspect in the second one. So it's a good point. They probably could have had the middle one be a little bit something different. But I actually didn't think too much of it.
I agree. I wasn't bored, but I just think in terms of like who had an opportunity to sort of survive this. You know, it ended up working out, I think, with a good mix with the group challenge where people could hide out. But I don't know that MTV wanted anyone who wasn't good at, like, basically strength to win. Like, I think this is their nightmare that they have Darrell out of the house.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually very happy the fact that they have Devin out, that they have Amanda out. I don't think that's what they were hoping for.
Depending on how big a part the Redemption House ends up playing. Mm-hmm. But first things first, they had to run with these roll and run with these gunpowder barrels. Bananas finishes first, to no one's surprise. Hunter second, Jordan third, Derek K fourth. Any thoughts on, and then for the women, Kayla comes in first, Camilla second, Anissa third, Tori fourth.
Someone pointed it out on Twitter, I can't remember who, but it is very funny that the top 3 finishers were all like past Corey hookups.
Yeah, which... Alan Aguirre says, hi there, Brian and or Allie. Do you guys think that Corey was the MVP of the episode? All 3 girls he slept with all finished 1, 2, 3 of the first challenge, and he's in Darrell home.
That's so beautiful. I don't think they could have made a point to do that. Like, they could have highlighted that after it was over, especially because they highlighted Corey's drama with everyone to begin with. Why wouldn't they just then point out the fact that these all 3 are actually very competitors, and if they want to, they can make his life a living hell. So that was a missed opportunity for MTV.
Yeah, why not surround any female accomplishment and how it affects the men they've sleep with? No, I'm just kidding. I agree that it would have been funny as like a threatening perspective of like, Corey's in trouble, like these girls are tough. Yeah. My biggest headline of this was Anissa's very strong third place finish. And with the return of Anissa, we get the return of me trying to convince you that Anissa is great to have on the show. And that was not lost on our audience.
I'll say this. She had a wonderful premiere. I was enjoying the Anissa experience for this time around. She was great.
Alistair Shaw says, do you think that by coming in third, Anissa showed a little evidence that she could maybe perform well this season and even in a final? And then they cited how she did well in the mini final and Bloodlines, and now doesn't have Rihanna to hold her back in eliminations.
Oh my God. Totally. I thought they were talking about the singer. I totally forgot the fact that like her cousin was on the show.
I follow her on Instagram. Yeah, I follow no one on Instagram from the challenge except for Rihanna. I really don't know why.
You were probably the single only person in the entire world that follows her, but no one else. So that's a badge of honor.
I will say I actually did request Derek H because I wanted to see how long him and Dory have been together. I was like upset with myself for not knowing this.
Is Tori not on Instagram?
No, but she's not private. So I did fall victim to having to follow somebody like semi-famous who keeps it private to build followers.
That's a weird move. If you're on TV, to be private?
Yeah, we're. It's like if you're on TV, but you can't get followers naturally, because then if somebody wants to see you, like me, they'll follow you,
I guess,
as opposed to just going and looking once.
But this is a total side note, but do you know, so the kids these days have two different Instagrams? I've heard about this.
I can't even get into this. Yeah, I heard about this recently.
It's like you have a public one, so you get all your likes and stuff, but then you have one just for your friends that is private.
Let's not talk and make this podcast like two aging millennials discuss the youth.
God, thank God I was not born like 8 years later.
All right. So Derek Kay finishing in fourth behind some pretty formidable opponents. Wendy Jong wants to know, why didn't they make a bigger deal about the return of Derek Kay?
Yeah, they did not even, I guess they did bring up Veronica coming back, but they did not mention Derek at all. At all.
I was very, very surprised to not see more pomp and circumstance for both Derek and Veronica, if not only Derek, because he hasn't been on apparently a real season of the challenge like Veronica was on Champs versus Bros recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought even like they would have had TJ bring up the fact that like, oh, Derek's back, because I feel like now TJ, like Derek would be like a TJ guy that he would just love to see in like that competitor type back. And to have no mention of it, I don't think he even spoke the entire episode.
Yeah, it was strange. High hopes for some more to come from Derek, at least on the challenge front. I mean, fourth place for your first time back in years is pretty, you know, not too shabby. We have a question about staging and strategy of the second round, or the second heat, carrying two cannons in teams. Brian Smith says, what the hell happened with the pink team in that challenge? They tried to make it seem like they had poor strategy, but the blue team had the exact same strategy. They were just so much better at carrying the second cannon.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to exactly follow the people's strategies because it just felt like so much was happening between each of these things that it was hard to keep track of who was on what team, who was even safe. I couldn't even keep track of who was in the last round until it was actually going down. So to like break down the strategy, I couldn't even tell you.
So I thought the issue was that like Jenna painted that they put three guys, the strongest guys and Jenna, on the first cannon with the idea of running it up and going back and helping sort of the weaker people. And they just didn't distribute the people correctly and had, you know, the second cannon couldn't make up enough time to make this strategy worthwhile and really lagged, and it had them lagging. So that's what I thought the issue was just the distribution. And I guess Darrell sort of complains at the end that it should have just been Darrell and Tony by themselves on the first cannon and putting everybody else in the back. So I think that's was the issue, although I just kind of think they were going to lose.
Yeah. That's what I seem like. I wonder why they didn't show any type of picking the teams. I guess TJ, because TJ just picked it randomly. That's the way it went down. I'm surprised they didn't do any type of captain situation and put it more in the people's hands.
Yeah, I actually had that thought until they announced that the winner of the third round like decides who goes home, and that would have just been like two, you know, drawn out choice kind of deals. Mm-hmm. And I think they wanted all the emphasis to fall on this, which is what we sort of discussed last week, that potentially this time around, people who are like the best of the worst will have power in the game to choose amongst the rest of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about the way this third round played out?
I was surprised at how well Corey did. I mean, great job by him to win, and I'm glad that Jenna won just to keep her safe too. But it was when TJ said that they're voting out basically three people each, I thought first that they were able to go back and vote out anyone. I didn't realize the fact that they were basically just keeping one person safe. So they made it like at a much bigger deal than it really was.
True. I'm just like the way I can't really explain it. I think it made it interesting, let's say more so than just like the last place person going home. But I really, it does not sit well with me to give any power to somebody who's just best of the worst.
Yeah. I mean, they could have easily just done it of, you know, top two are safe and everyone else is gone. They could have easily done it like that. Obviously, this creates more drama and sets up like the revenge aspect for these people that are obviously still some part of the game. So, I mean, I'm fine with it because, I mean, there it's It would have been a lot worse if what I thought was happening is that they could just vote out anyone, because that would have been really weird. But for the best of the worst to vote out the other worst, I'm fine with that.
Miguel Strickland and a lot of other people also asked us, from the bottom four of each gender, who would you have saved?
I think I would have done exactly what they did.
Why?
Although, actually, I would have, if I was Corey, I would have kept Shane instead of Tony.
Why?
I would rather go up against Shane than go up against Tony.
Yeah, I agree. I think Corey's calculus was a little off here of, like, especially his ending of, like, do I go with Darrell because we're close, or Tony because I've worked with him before? Like, he was thinking more, like, strategically throughout the game. When they keep drilling that this is the dirtiest game ever and you can't trust anyone, why aren't you just purely making picks here against who you can beat?
And also, wouldn't Corey be a little worried that Tony's going to be just a little pissed that he sent home his brother?
That's interesting. The one thing I will say is Tony is someone who's dumb enough to think that he owes Corey now. Like, where we have Jemmy say, like, oh yeah, I totally owe her, and then cut to confessional. She's like, I don't know anyone's shit, and definitely not Jenna.
Yeah, I love that contrast of Jemmy, who actually knows how to play the game, and is like, I don't owe anyone anything, and Tony, like, the lovable loser. Oh, no, he's my best friend.
Lovable is an interesting word. I would say if between Darrell and Shane and Devin and Tony, Tony is the one person you save here, and he actually might be loyal to you. But that said, I wouldn't pick based on that, because I think it's more likely that bananas can get in Tony's ear and take any of that loyalty that might be there away. And so you just have to go based on the physical, in my opinion. Another strange thing with Tony, Edward Morris says, are Tony's kids more important than Darrell's? Like, what was Corey trying to say here? Like, I know you have those kids at home, as though Darrell doesn't have two children as well.
Corey just has no idea that they're all his kids. That has to be it, right?
I mean, I guess they're not that close then, as Corey reported.
Yeah. I mean, that has to be the only explanation.
That was pretty weird. What also was weird for me is that they didn't go to Jenna at all for why she picks Simone, Amanda, and LaToya. Like, they would just be like, all right, who are you eliminating? Simone. All right, Corey, who are you eliminating and why?
Yeah, I mean, the eliminating Amanda, I think, was, like, pretty self-explanatory. They didn't need to delve into that. Actually, they kind of did. They showed, like, the flashback, right, of Amanda talking shit. And then for Simone, I don't know. I just don't think anyone likes Simone, but that's probably why.
I don't know if it's a result of what Jenna said wasn't, like, interesting to show, or if they just didn't think the picks were as interesting. So on the women's side, you would have also saved Jemmy.
Yeah, I think so.
See, Jemmy to me has relationships with people in the house and has, like you said, the know-how to play the game, whereas LaToya maybe doesn't as much. Simone, I don't think, again, is likable enough to stick around or a physical threat. Well, Jemmy is not a physical threat. I think she could be a social threat more so than Simone or LaToya.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the guys quickly, I did very much enjoy the Devin exchange. That was very funny.
Yeah, Devin not like smart enough or not having the foresight enough to realize that he might be staying in the house. Like, if I were on the challenge, I hope I would think that this is suspicious and they wouldn't fly me all the way here to have six of us leave.
Yeah, I kind of think it almost plays more into Devin's like hand that people may underestimate, the fact that he's like so openly like, oh yeah, I just would have screwed you over. I think that kind of works for Devin.
That's a good point. I also loved that TJ's shirt said, please be kind during all of this.
I didn't notice that.
I love that. How do you feel about the big twist reveal that there is a redemption house?
I mean, it's got to be too to be determined, because we don't really understand what it means. So until we know exactly like how many more people are going in there, when do they come back? How do they come back? I'm cautiously optimistic because I don't want to see these people go home yet. So I'm happy they're still part of the game.
Yeah, I think regardless of how this plays out, I'm happy to see it, because, you know, I my exact quote at the time was, I'm not mad, which is the closest I get to being happy. I'm not mad at it. I think that I would be upset to see Mostly Darrell. I would be upset to see leave without an opportunity to return. Devin, I think, also is a big loss. Amanda. So I also loved from a production standpoint the way that they showed them finding out. Like when Darrell's like, why are you still filming?
Yeah.
I loved that little peek behind the curtain.
Yep. The fourth wall breaking is great.
And then just in the preview show, before we get to the questions to just sort of wrap up this show, I loved when we see CT, and it looks like, I don't know if this is it a spoiler of who's going to fill in for Ashley potentially?
I mean, since it was shown in the preview, I don't think so.
Yeah, we didn't see any comments about it. And I mean, I didn't see any questions asked us, and somebody used the phrase like some girl says when TJ says like, when the girl says, I don't hate you, and CT says, give it time. Ugh, again, another candidate for a tattoo of my forehead on my forehead. So it looks like Brianna, former friend of the podcast, unclear, big,
I think no, still friend of the podcast,
big favorite of ours, seems to be coming back, and I'm thrilled about that she gets a second chance after what happened with, Brandon.
Yeah. Cause you talk about getting like absolutely just screwed in your first time out. She had to leave the show cause her partner quit. So 100% she deserves, if she deserved the first time shot on the show, then she deserves a second one just to get a real shot. So
definitely agree. Michael Alvey wants to know, is it fair that CT seemingly gets to come in after the purge?
I guess it's not exactly fair, but I mean, who the hell cares? Does anyone want to see the possibility of CT going home in week one? No, so it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, it's Molly. I think Molly wrote in the comment back to Michael, like, is anything ever fair on the challenge?
Yeah.
So if we're going to make concessions, let's definitely make them for CT. Although I have no speculation at all that this was like a fun free ride for CT. Like that, no, they're like, all right, we're worried about him being lost in the first round. Let's keep CT in America for a week.
They probably also could have just like delayed filming, right? They could have done that too.
But no, it goes with what you're saying with like they wanted to be on schedule and it was early and maybe they were just rushing it.
Exactly.
Only an MTV show would do some shit like this, though. Like,
classic
really,
MTV.
Only the challenge would somebody miss an entire segment, and like all of the explanation is, well, we couldn't get him into the country, but we had to move ahead. Yeah. Like, and, you know, he'll be back next week after the first challenge.
Could you imagine that, like, they do like another all returning for Survivor, and then like another someone just shows up on day four? Cause, like, oh, we were still working out their passport and medical issues, but here they are. They're in the game. It's day four, but they're on it. It's so perfect, MTV. They're such a ragtag group of rascals.
Which is why it's a perfect show for this ragtag group or duo of rascals to cover. Andrew Kirk wants to know, who from Are You the One do you guys think has the best shot to make the final?
Probably Nelson. I mean, he made it last time, so probably do it again.
I'm going to get all my eggs behind Tori here. I think Tori is smart and athletic and just so damn likable that she's sort of like a real triple threat here.
Yeah, she is really likable. It's very hard to find someone who doesn't like Tori. Even like for what the person she cheated on with his roommate with, he still found himself liking it by the end of the second chance of the season.
Morgan?
I am so pathetically bad with names.
You're fine. Andrew, just read that. Alex, speaking of being bad with names, Alex RQ says, who do you think are the best male and female, quote, layups on this season, like Jay and Jenna on Battle of the Exes?
Let me think. Probably, I would say Nicole on the girl's side probably is a pretty easy target. The guys, I mean, I guess Emma, right?
Nicole really got the Nelson treatment, and by the Nelson treatment, I mean people who are supposed to be doing a preview episode and forgetting about them. Nothing from Nicole really this episode. I think that's a good pick. Totally forgot she was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I guess because Emma went last in Randy's draft. I like didn't think I'm not underestimating Emma's ability. But it is a really strong group of guys. We didn't really see much from Dario.
I forgot Dario was even on this season. That's right.
Yeah, I would say it would have been Shane. I think people are going to want, or Shane or Devin. I think we're going to see people, if they have any choice of going in against somebody early, they're going to want Ammo or Dario.
For sure.
And but no, really strong casting overall, yeah. both for challenge prowess and drama. Speaking of drama, Jennifer Jones says, who will our villains be for this season?
Our villains. It's tough. I could see Brittany becoming a villain just because, like, there's always like a newbie that wants to try to like stir up shit on their own. I can see her doing that. I mean, if Amanda gets Axie back in the house, she's always a villain. Those are the top two that come to mind.
I think the biggest villain this season, based on what I rumored Twitter beef, might be you, Brian.
Yeah, could be. I might have another blockage on my hands.
you wanna share what happened?
Yeah, so I thought a very kind, normal my tweet. I just tweeted out, Marie isn't good on the challenge. Didn't tag her. So I don't do that to people.
Oh, you subtweeted.
If I'm gonna tweet something mean, I'll just let it float it out there. If they want to find it, they can find it. And I didn't notice it was even the Marie who responded until like a lot later, because she just responded why. And then I thought that was like a fan just asking that. I didn't feel like responding. And then I noticed it getting a lot of likes and people commenting. Like, oh, that's actually Marie. And then I just responded, three seasons, zero even noteworthy mentions. Someone responded back. This is what got my attention, with one of the most preposterous spellings of a tweet I've ever seen in my entire life. If I can find it, I quote tweeted it so you can like pull it up. But she tweeted as if, you know, that SpongeBob meme when he's like twisted all over the place, people type in all random letters. Like, that's how she, I think she just tweets in like normal fashion. But her exact,
oh yeah, you wrote, my brain exploded trying to decipher this.
Yeah, like I'm gonna try to read this. So she wrote, girl, his page is dedicated, spelt with a K, to Johnny's tired lame ass, so obviously his opinions, spelt with a Y, are shit, and bitch don't realize, oh, wild spelling of realize, what a motherfucking queen you is. Boy, bye.
B-Y.
Yeah. Just an unbelievably spelt tweet. That, yeah. It's just like, you gotta give credit. I mean, she went so far out of her way to spell. I don't know what Page is. What is Page?
Page, his page. It's like your Twitter. It's your Twitter page.
Oh.
Because okay. You have bananas in both your cover photo and profile picture.
Yeah, I do.
Or whatever it is. This is very reminiscent of Yawn Bitch. Yawn that bitch.
Yeah. The Yawn Bitch is even like better, because I didn't even tweet to her. She just responded to our podcast, which is like amazing.
Which, for anyone who doesn't know, I had from Ari the One during our cast preview, I think Brian said that she was like the physical embodiment of a yawn or something like that.
No, I just said she was incredibly like boring. No, I said she was incredibly boring, and I said when I yawned after I,
okay,
like,
you definitely
profile.
Said yawn.
Yeah.
And then she just tweeted, yawn that bitch.
No, because you know, first she's like, I had to move, I got a new job, I'm starting school, I have a whole new life, yawn that bitch.
Oh, because but yawn that bitch was a separate tweet.
Yeah, it was a separate tweet. I had that as my cover photo for a while.
Bug is back with a vengeance. Oh, he's mad. Where'd he even come from?
Does he have backup?
Oh, he's so disgusting. All right, anyway, I'm going to try to stay focused and not make this podcast three parts. No, what I loved is it was like, without emphasis, you know, she meant like yawn that bitch, but yeah, with no punctuation, it was yawn that bitch.
It was even better. She deleted it like 5 minutes after she tweeted it, but I got the screenshot.
Of course she did.
I got
like
it.
Any true creepy podcast co-host.
How I roll.
So yeah, that's incredible. Hopefully more on your Twitter feuding. I love to see it. Breaking news coming to us today. You give us our very well done news drop, Ryan. Well, that was like a little jock jamsy, which I liked. Okay, so we got a tweet right before going live, and not live, but whatever, live for us, from Naya on Twitter. Thank you very much. I am done crying laughing emoji. The Ashley is reporting that Teen Mom 2 star Javi, who used to be dating, or Javi, I forget. I've seen this episode. This is Kaylin's ex. So sorry, I had no time to prep for this. This is happening live on the scene. and other MTV reality stars are being considered for the next season of The Challenge. So someone now from Teen Mom, not even one of the moms, one of the dads from Teen Moms, are rumored to be considered for The Challenge. So I'm now reading the article. For season 31, MTV may be dipping into the cast lists of some of its other reality shows. Sources say they have their eyes on, I'm mispronouncing his name. I think it's Javi. I forget. Okay. I'm sorry, everyone. Sure. I mispronounce everyone's name.
At least you remember names.
He was rumored to be dating Tony Madison of Tony and Madison.
Oh, perfect. Sign him up then.
Yeah. So I'm trying to see if they're mentioning anyone else. They're not. I don't know how credible this is, but there you go. I thought they would be going to Stranded with $1 million before they ever touched Teen Mom as a possibility of a casting pool.
Didn't they literally have a public vote about send someone from that show to The Challenge?
I didn't think it was going to have any like results. I thought it was like a fun teaser. Like, who would you like to see? Like, if Big Brother was like, who would you like to see in Survivor? As like, maybe it's a crowd testing thing, but it wasn't like vote and we'll put them on.
Mm, I thought that was. I guess maybe no one had that overwhelming of a result that they were like, eh. No, we're not going to send anyone there.
Hey, I could be wrong about that. I would be very disappointed to move from other like, I can get on board with other competition reality shows. You want to put someone from Stranded with $1 million? I'll deal with it. Don't start putting people from your like lifestyle, you know, documentary shows on The Challenge. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
It's a little weird. I mean, I can't say I'm like totally against it because I'm always on the mindset of I really don't care where people come from as long as they like fit on the show. I'm cool with. But I mean, if you're pulling from Are You the One, you now have, I mean, this is what we're in season, could be season six. That's 120 people to choose from. Like, there's plenty of people that have been on Are You the One that could be on The Challenge.
Yeah. And I was just looking at this recently. Like, when I look at, like, there are a lot of people from, that, like, a couple seasons of The Real World that I think would be great and willing, and they haven't pulled them. So why, I don't know, we're just getting easing into Are You the One. Why rock the boat with new people?
Mm. And I'm proud of us for not making a Teen Mom joke about Tony, so good job us.
I'm so proud of us. Oh my God. So we will continue to self-congratulate all season, but you can congratulate us by leaving us 5-star reviews or any reviews and comments on robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. How do you like that?
That was a brilliant transition. You can follow my Twitter beef with Marie at @ColinBryan_.
And at some point, I hope to be using the internet again for good and evil at @LashTweets.
Unless the bug gets you, then that'll just be it.
The second we sign off, I'm going ham on this bug. I've been eyeing it. We made eye contact. I didn't know that's possible with a bug, but it's looking into my soul.
I just pictured you doing the meet the parents thing with the bug, and I am almost about to start laughing. So we need to wrap this up. You can check us back next week. Until then, have a good one.